Welcome everyone, it's well and truly gone 5:30, so I'll declare our meeting open. And I'd like to acknowledge the Gumbangia people who are the traditional custodians of this land. I pay respect to elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal people present. And I'll also remind everyone that this meeting is being webcast, so everyone should refrain from making defamatory comments. And if you have your mobile phone with you, could you turn it to silent, please? Before I get into the formal part of the agenda, I'd just like to thank the Girralong Brigade for making the building available. And a very special thank you to the wonderful cooks and food preparation people. I don't know whether I'm allowed to say this, especially that seeing as it's being recorded, and I just made that comment about defamatory statements, but I was comparing to usual catering, and I'll simply say I know which one I, and I suspect the councillors and staff, would prefer. So thank you very much for making us feel so welcome and for going to so much trouble. It's very nice. The other thing that is really nice to see is so many local people have actually come along. I did make the comment that earlier that our Nambucca Heads Away meeting attracted two people. So, and yet you come out to North Arm and yeah, we get a good turn up of local people. So thank you. All right, apologies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Apologies from Councillor Trevor Ballengarry and Councillor Troy Banks.
Thank you. And I'd now like to invite Minister Gary White from the Nambucca River Presbyterian Church to come forward and lead us in prayer on behalf of the Nambucca Valley Christian Ministers Association.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and councillors and senior staff from the council. And ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to beg you to lead us in prayer. So let's pray together. Father, we just thank you so much for this beautiful place in which we live, and we thank you for members of the council, the mayor and the staff and councillors who give their time and substance to see things working well. Father, we pray that you might give them great wisdom and courage in all the work they do, the problems they have to solve, the things that have got to be done. Father, we pray too for the locals, and we thank you for each one of them. We pray that you might help us to be a great people to lead, to make our concerns known, but to respect that our council too are people who work under orders and they have lots of people over them, creating all sorts of things for them to come into grips with as well. And so, Father, we commit this meeting into your hands and pray that it might go well for the sake of our community. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you. Okay, disclosures of interest. Do we have any disclosures? None? Thank you. Councillors, we have two lots of minutes for confirmation. The first is the minutes of the ordinary meeting of the 31st of August. Moved Councillor Angel. Seconded Councillor Jenby. Are there any corrections to those minutes? None? Those in favour? Against, it's carried. We also have the confirmation of the extraordinary meeting of council for the 7th of September. Moved Councillor Martin Ballengarry. Seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any corrections? Those in favour? Against, carried. There are no notices of motion, so we'll go straight to our public forum. And our first speaker is Mr. David Phillips. Mr. Phillips is the Brigade Captain representing the Girralong Rural Fire Service, community and general concerns in relation to emergency services in Girralong. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I'd like to welcome you and the Council to Girralong on behalf of the President of the Brigade, the officers and members, and the community in general. It's great to see you out. I'd also like to recognise the traditional owners of the land on which we're meeting, and pay my respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. There's always a little bit of administrative stuff to do before we get going, and you've probably heard a lot of this before, but I had to talk about who's working health and safety. If one of you gets injured, the first thing that my zone manager is going to say, well, did you tell them what was going on? Easy ones first, toilet, you probably found that. The emergency exit is not there. That little door over there. Go figure. If we do have to evacuate, the meeting point is over the road next to the cattle yards. Again, I think that's a study of this, but this is a working shed. We've got lots of equipment here that's sharp or heavy or poisonous. So, I'll just ask you to be careful. If there's anything you want to look at, play with, maybe show it to you. Some of it you actually own. Some of it we bought ourselves. And just to wrap this little bit up, I'd like to thank all the residents and the brigade members who put in their time to set this up for you guys tonight. That's a pleasure to spend quite a lot of time, and I'm going to be as bashful as you've had about it, but I'm going to thank Jenny, you've got enormous amount of effort that you've put in. I know, because I'll put up with that. I think while you're here, you might be interested in the outline of the brigade. It's been here for a long time. I took records back to 1950. It might be a little bit rubbery, but that's when Con Fuller, father of one of our other members here, joined the brigade and apparently set this up. That figure's a bit rubbery. We do know that for sure it was here in 1937, because we have the grandfather of the brigade here tonight, and it's our current president, Laurie Medbury. So Laurie's put in about 46 years. At the moment, the brigade has about 35 members, and we've got two or three waiting to join up. And those new members will see a much different brigade to the one that was here in the 70s, when most firefighting was under those black hats in the corner there. And the most sophisticated piece of PPE that they had was cloth hat and cotton hat and wrap hat. Things have changed. Today we've got a lot of sophisticated vehicles and communication equipment and PPE. I should have said you'll see some of us in PPE tonight. There's a good reason for that. The shed's open. We're available. If we get a call, I hope it's not going to happen, if we get a call, we're going to be ready to go. And although we've got more than the equipment and the PPE, it still doesn't mean that firefighting is no longer hard, hot, dirty, and dangerous as well. The strenuousness of firefighting is definitely something to be considered. Here in Huron, where 70% of its membership age over 60, and 28% of its regular firefighters are aged over 70. But we are an aging brigade. But despite its age, during the 1920 fires, 15 members were awarded the Premier's commendation and 5 received national emergency medals. We do still manage to get out there. This year, despite being relatively remote, Huron has responded to 12 incidents, 9 of which were drivers. Just a reflection of how much growth there is around the most, and the people perhaps are not as careful as they might be with fire. Quick introduction to the community, I think. We still hear Geelong or North Armour described as a bunch of dope smoking chickens. I can assure you there are no chickens here. The demographics have changed considerably, even in the 10 years that I've been here, and we now have residents holding a wide range of jobs, often based away from home, including teaching, medical, nursing, caring, trades, and the professions. Two properties operate tourism enterprises. Farming, though, still remains a significant part of the valley, with two properties undertaking some innovative and well-renowned initiatives, including Mandarin Bear Organic Farm, which supplied much of the food that you enjoyed eating tonight. In fact, a lot of our food came from local suppliers. Generally, the population is aging. 40% of residents are over 60 years of age, and 35% of residents live on their own. Of those residents over the age of 60, 55% of them live on their own. With that in mind, just thinking about some of the issues affecting the brigade and the community. Fire, obviously this area hasn't burnt since 2005. And we've had a couple of little fires, but nothing much to reduce the incredible amount of growth that we've had up here, especially in the last couple of years. We did lodge an audit in the 1925s, in one of the areas that wasn't affected, but in many ways that means that next time we get a fire, it's going to be worse. Coming up here, I don't know if you thought you were coming a long way, but it is reasonably isolated up here, particularly in terms of emergency assistance. The next nearest rural fire brigade is Ardenstall. You will come past the brigade station, and if we need help, they're at least 40 minutes away. And the next available station after that is Newry Creek. They're at least 90 minutes away. So if something happens up here, we're pretty much on our own. Medical assistance is usually delivered by fire and rescue out of Barrowburn. That's at least an hour away, with ambulance at least an hour or an hour and a half if a 4x4 ambulance is required. Now the road, you will hear more about the road tonight. I'm sure you know that from expecting it. I'm not going to go too much deeper on that now, but it's worth noting it's one way in, that's one way out. Mm. Basically, there is no escape, especially if you're in a two-wheel drive vehicle. There are some fire channels in a few, but if we need to evacuate from here, that can be pretty sure that the fires are going to prevent use of those fire channels. In 1920, the 1925, the road was cut at Argent's Hill. So those of us up this evening will be able to get that. Communications. Some of you may have put into the NBN box we've got here. But generally, phones are four out in landlines. There's no mobile coverage. There's no pager coverage. And the RFS is going to go doing everything on the mobile phone, which just does not work. Some people have Wi-Fi calling, and that works if you're in the house. But once you're in the house, that's a big communication. That's a bit of just a little bit of a summary. Thank you for listening. I probably just finished saying my personal concern here, especially for this season, is that North Arm raised up at the same place as South Arm in 2019. hygiene. And that's obviously the last thing that we want. But yes, we are well aware of. Just giving out this question. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. Before you resume your seat, I just want to check whether any councillors have any questions regarding your presentation. Councillor Angel.
Yeah, now obviously, Mr. Phillips, you don't have the opportunity of seeing the manager of council here to listen. We've got a wish list of anything. Obviously, the roads are an improvement point, but anything you guys are thinking of your list up here for your hall, for your farm, anything around the area, that's up high on the wish list that you want to throw around some pretty pertinent ears.
Well, the two things, councillor. Number one on the list is the road. It is vital to what we do up here. And it's not just for the RFS. It's for services coming in. And it's vital for these people here to do. They travel in every day, a lot of them. He allows a certain percentage of waste because he knows his produce is going to be damaged on the way. That's that point of view. The other point of view is it's getting built out here. So if we need, as I said, we need an ambulance and communications. Mm-hmm. Communications are vital. We seem to be going backwards here. The RFS is looking after us as much as it can, but it's not in the business of providing mobile phone coverage. And even they've gone over and onto a new radio system, but it doesn't quite work anywhere either. So we're always pushing that. So, roads, thanks for your attention from my point of view.
Thank you.
If you could do something for us, if you can get us about a dozen young ones, that would be
good. Mr. Phillips, any other questions from councillors? I just wanted to ask, and I know it's a public forum, but whether you would be happy to talk to a staff member. I'm particularly interested in what you said about the communication issue and the mobile RFS going to mobile phones. And our manager of IT is here. It was only earlier this afternoon we were... mobile phone connectivity or communication connectivity is an issue in various places around the Shire. Given all the things you just described, to then hear that you may not be able to contact help. Even to get it here in the 90 minutes or the hour, you've got to at least be able to contact them in the first place. So I know that our IT manager indicated this afternoon that there are potentially further rounds of some funding coming up. I just think that perhaps, even though council doesn't deliver telecommunications services, that doesn't mean that we can't lobby and seek funding and so forth. So would you be happy to talk to to give contact details perhaps to the general manager, but so that, I'm not sure, whether it would be our manager of IT, but I would just like to think that if there was any opportunity, there may not be, but if there's an opportunity to have a look at the communication side.
May I ask you?
Yes.
Through the mayor, I have Dennis's contact details through the Roads Action Group,
uh-huh.
And I'd be happy to talk to Philip, Jury, and yourself if that group wanted to explore mobile phone coverage as a sideline, that might be a way we can progress it through a sort of a group way of doing.
But thank you very much. I'd certainly be more than willing to talk to you.
Yeah, well, we're not in a position, obviously, tonight to make any commitments or promises, but perhaps if, you know, if you're able to explain, like, obviously I don't understand it, I'm not a technological expert, but yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean? If you could perhaps explain what some of the issues are and what the needs are, you know, what is needed to improve them or whatever, you know, we may, even if it's a, you know, mayoral letterhead to the feds and the local members or whatever to lobby for some funding or some telecommunications improvements, because, yeah, we have similar problems. And I've sort of noticed that once a major tower goes up, those little areas in between the circles of coverage, no one seems to want to spend the money on a tower to give service when it's, and in the words of, well, I won't say his position, but a very senior person in Telstra in the northern region indicated to me that the cost of an additional tower for the sake of 30 households, in his opinion, wasn't warranted, was not money well spent. And I thought, yeah, we'll tell that to someone when they need an ambulance or the rural fire service. Yeah.
I suspect I know who you're talking about because we had exactly the same conversation with that person in this
show. Yes. Well, and that's what I mean. You know, perhaps, you know, if we were to join forces, we might be able to get something done over. As I said, I can't make any commitments, but the more information and ammunition we have, the better opportunity we have to lobby as well. And, but we need that advice from you. All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Phillips.
Thank you.
Oh, I've got you down again for road maintenance.
Would you like me to go again?
Well, I'd now like to introduce Mr. David Phillips, who's a resident of North Arm, for the tape, who's a resident of North Arm, and he's speaking regarding road maintenance.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, for the opportunity to address Council again. But this time as a member of the Huron Residents Group and the Roads Action Group. I know councillors are subject to frequent complaints about roads, and you're obviously sure that. I would be remiss not to take advantage of your visit to Huron to raise the issue again. And I know you've heard this before, but I want to say it again. Most residents on unsealed roads in the Shire know it's most unlikely their roads will ever be sealed. However, in the absence of them being sealed, all they really need is a safe, smooth surface. Sorry about our pun. It was a free one, so. When I arrived in Geelong 10 or 11 years ago, North Arm Road was graded twice a week. Two light grades one year, and a light grade, a heavy grade in the next year. However, not long after our arrival, council sold one of its graders, and not long after that, grading in North Arm was reduced to once per year. And that's a regimen which has more or less been maintained in the past couple of years when even that wasn't being achieved. This year, North Arm Road was due for its annual grade in March. By that time, the road surface was very poor and residents were reporting that it was taking 5 to 10 minutes longer to travel into town, just to keep them safe and their vehicles from falling apart. When in July I queried why the grade hadn't been done, the reasons given were that only one person had complained about the safety grade. And after a quick inspection, the inspectors decided that the road had been damaged by logging trucks. Now, so far, I haven't been able to find anything in the ascertainment documents of council members states that grading should be delayed if only a few complaints are made or if there's a certain type of vehicle been using the road. The fact that I made the complaint, I was maybe expected to come out here, and he said, oh yes, it's in pretty bad condition, isn't it? Yeah, it is, and probably a lot worse than it was in the 12-month anniversary of the greater camp. I'm not going to be a little bit cynical, but a little bit truthful here, and I say thank goodness for this meeting. Because in accordance with what seems to be usual practice, the road's been graded before council got here. And I'm not really being cynical, because it's happened many times. And while this no doubt shows great respect for councillors, personally I feel disrespect to great players who have to use the road and the other 364 days of the year. As I mentioned before in my former presentation, it's not just residents who need to use the road, as in any community. Geelong needs a supply of services such as those provided by tradesmen, utilities providers and emergency services. And I just want to give you a couple of examples where the condition of the road might mean that those services aren't delivered or are delayed. You may know that in October last year, Geelong was hit by a severe hailstorm that damaged many houses. Mine's amongst the last to be repaired, but the building consultants who are arranging remediation have advised they're having difficulties putting a team together to do the repairs, as previous roadsmen have complained about the state of the road, and don't want to come here. Here's another example. If somebody here is to have a heart attack tonight, they'd have to expect to wait at least an hour for assistance in the form of fire and rescue, not an ambulance, but fire and rescue. And up to an hour and a half if a 4x4 ambulance is required. I think I'm making this up, but I'm not, because that very thing happened here only recently. And we know in the case of a heart attack, every minute of delay can reduce the chance of recovery by 10%. As a driver of the brigade's large tanker, I know that poor road conditions can cause substantial traffic delays, both to ensure the safety of the crew and the vehicles themselves. So we're behind the eight ball if somebody is seriously caught here. But it's not just heart attacks, it's strokes and snake bites and motor vehicle accidents. When the subject of road maintenance is raised for council staff, inevitably we're told the council has limited funding. And whilst we understand the council can't do everything, it's frustrating to drive into town and see considerable work being undertaken on sealed roads that at least appear to be in serviceable condition, while we contemplate the cost of damage caused through our vehicles by those services. I've used this example to council before, but since inception, council has received grants of almost $8 million under the Commonwealth Road Recovery Program. And that's just one program under which it receives funding. Under that program, of the $8 million, only $350,000 has gone to projects involving unsealed roads. Just to put that in a little bit of context, I know that sealed roads are more expensive to maintain. About 49% of the roads in the Shire are unsealed. We'd at least like to see a little bit more than 4% of funding coming to unsealed roads. And with money in short supply, it seemed prudent to ensure maximum bang for the buck, yet just a couple of weeks after grading, the corrugations and ruts on North Farm Road are already reappearing. You might have bounced along some of them when you chip out here tonight. A lot of the gravel that's spent on the surface is already being pushed to the edges. And no doubt the large clumps of grass that were graded into the middle of the road during the grade will be decomposed as soon as we get some rain and we'll have large potholes appearing. But it appears that in a very short time, North Arm residents will again be forced to grow up with a substandard, unsafe road, no guarantees, and that may again be graded. We're very aware that the issue of assets maintenance, including road maintenance, is under active consideration of council. While we're hoping that the outcome of this work is sustainable, consistent policy for road maintenance, we're also concerned that the review will downgrade maintenance standards and or that some roads will not be maintained. From this viewpoint, we request that council ensure that the roads action group, the Geelong residents group and ratepayers generally are given ample opportunity to comment on the new asset management plans and engage in discussion with council as well before it's put in place. Just finally, as I said at the beginning of this presentation, all residents on gravel roads really aspire to is a safe, smooth surface on which to travel, much the same as that enjoyed by residents in the urban areas. Arguably, that aspiration is not being achieved at the moment, so we look forward to their future improvements. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. Again, any questions from councillors? No? Thank you.
Because you've heard it all before.
I was thinking that perhaps we should just schedule two council meetings a year in the fire shed.
I was going to suggest that, but I might be going a bit too far.
I take that back. I'm glad you all have a sense of humour. And I should have noted the arrival of Councillor Trevor. You've noted the time. Thank you. Welcome, Councillor Trevor. We have one final speaker tonight, and that is Ms. Judy Reardon. Do I pronounce it Reardon or Redman? I remember. Thank you, because years ago we had Mr. Redman as our engineer. Judy is the president, is a resident and Roads Action Group, which is RAGS that Mr. Phillips referred to. And she wants to also speak about road maintenance of North Arm Road. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and councillors for allowing me to speak to you. I'm probably going to cover a couple of things that are similar to David, but also a few extra points that I think are important to bring up to council at this time. First, my main point is, what is council doing in the future to ensure that we do get at least annual grading of North Arm Road? As David pointed out, we shouldn't have to complain and wait for a council meeting to get the road graded. And again, the road was in a shocking state before it was graded this time because it was so long. And my concern is that it was very dry by the time it got graded, and again, I'm concerned that this grading is not going to last for another year. The other point I wanted to make was the maintenance of the drains, and we have talked about this before, that drainage on this road is critical, and that half the time when we had the big rains for a couple of years, the road got destroyed because the drains were never maintained properly. We did notice this time there was a backhoe out with a grader to dig out the drains, but we don't know whether they actually cleared the actual drain underneath the road. So they dug out the pits on both sides, but a lot of drains don't look like they were actually hollowed out underneath the road. So that's something that we really believe should be followed up with. The other thing I want to talk about was the concerns of the road quality for the safety of the drivers and businesses. And as David mentioned, we have Airbnbs and farms out here. There's quite a lot of traffic of trades. I run an Airbnb here on this property. We have a tourist cabin. And I get a lot of guests who come up from Sydney. And very often they're young people, they have a small car, they don't have a four-wheel drive, they don't have experience with driving on unsealed roads to begin with. And when a road is in such a shocking state as North Arm has been, it's even more dangerous for them. Sometimes they don't get here until when it's dark. And just as an aside, with regard to the communication issue that David talked about, we actually had a guest who had a car accident on North Arm Road that hit another youth coming the other way. We didn't know about it because, again, they had no way to call us. It was only by chance my husband drove by coming home and he saw their car on the side of the road. It was all crushed. Had no idea where they were because they weren't in their car. He came home at that day. We had no way of contacting them or had no way of finding them. It was dark. We had to go out in our four-wheel drive and drive down the road. Luckily, me and the car stopped at a local neighbor's and asked if he'd seen my guests, and luckily he had them. Well, he actually had the guy who hid them, and our guests had gone to another house down the road, and they were okay. But without phones and without communication, it was very scary because we could not find these people. We didn't know if they were injured. Their car was a total write-off. So again, a first-hand experience of what happens when we get in an accident on North Island Road, you've got nothing for communication. The other thing I wanted to bring up was traffic management during the last grade was non-existent. There was none. So you'd be driving down the road and suddenly you would come up to the grader. Sure, they put a little sign out saying the grader is there, but you're driving along and there is the grader or the water truck in front of you. Nowhere to go. They don't necessarily see you, so that's pretty scary. On this very narrow winding road to come across a big grader, there is no place to go. So I would like to ask if the next time you have a grader here, please get some traffic management in. It just makes sense. This is too much of a windy, you know, blind bed road without somebody there watching for the traffic. Half the time the grader and the water truck don't even know where they are. The other issue was when they grade the road, of course, they make these big mounds of dirt. And with no one managing where you should be driving on the road, if you didn't have a four-wheel drive and you were perhaps making an Airbnb guest, you would have no idea where you should be putting your car on the road while the grader was grading it. So it's just all these things can add up to a very bad accident. So I would like to please, if we could have somebody managing that whole process on the road when this car is available. The last point I wanted to make was communication from council staff regarding upcoming road maintenance obviously needs to be improved. As David and I have pointed out, we shouldn't have to complain to council to get the grader out here. I have to acknowledge, though, the antenna app. As soon as I got notice from council that it was up, I downloaded it on my phone. I immediately put in a complaint about the road, and I actually got a phone call in a couple of hours from one of the maintenance guys saying, well, we're actually coming out to see the road, and we actually are going to come through. So that was pretty good. I'd like to really see that get going, and I hope it becomes a better tool for the residents to communicate to council, and that council uses that application to follow up with the residents as well on what's happening once we put in applications. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Redman. Do any councillors have any questions? None? Thank you. Okay, councillors, well, that's all of our public forums. We have no questions with notice and no questions for closed meeting. So we'll go straight to page 23, item 9.1 of the business paper. Moved Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Buchanan. Is there any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Actually, are we able to turn that around because residents can't see the item heading?
Yeah,
here we go. Yeah. Yeah, are we able to point the thingo at it though? Sorry. And it's probably appropriate for me to say that we don't expect everyone, you're more than welcome to, but we also don't expect everyone to stay to the end of the meeting because I know maybe you haven't had dinner yet, or you may have family or children or other responsibilities at home. So if at any point you need to leave or you would like to leave, then please just do so. Don't feel that you are interrupting or anything like that. Okay. Page 33, item 9.2. Move Councillor Angel, seconded Councillor Martin Ballengarry. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. No late reports from the Acting General Manager, so we'll go to page 35, item 10.1. Moved Councillor Jandy. Seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Councillor Jandy.
I'd like to say that the committee wants to keep meeting after the loss of Carl Hutchinson, and we are advertising for a community development officer, so I would be very welcome at this meeting. Obviously, the Access Committee loves to talk about footpaths and also parking and issues like that. So, and we're also working quite hard. The property manager is going to come into the next meeting and talk about the changing places, so a proper changing room or the application for one anyway.
Okay, thank you. If there's no other discussion, those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 42, item 10.2. Moved Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Angel, and you will have received this afternoon the water and sewer figures that were emailed out this afternoon. Okay, is there any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 51, item 11.1. Moved Councillor Buchanan. Seconded Councillor Jones. Any discussion? Councillor Jandy.
Fletcher Street and Puckett. It's a very busy night for the Ranger. Extraordinary number of ticket issues there.
Extraordinarily number of parking offences regularly occur there.
Obviously.
No other discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 55, item 11.2. Moved Councillor Angel. Seconded, who did I get it? Councillor Trevor Ballengarry. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. There are no late reports. That's our last item. Councillors, because of the location, we aren't going to be able to meet the requirements for closed meeting. So are there any pressing concerns? You'll have all read the reports enclosed, or the report enclosed, because otherwise I'm going to move that we defer the closed meeting item to our next council meeting. No one had anything that they specifically wanted to address tonight? Well, I'll move that we defer.
Not in close, but I'd love to ask the General Manager a question about roads.
You can't unless we... Sorry, about roads?
Just general discussion.
Well, you can't unless there's an item on the agenda.
Normally, after the meeting?
Once I've closed the meeting, if you want to ask and the Acting General Manager is prepared to answer, that's fine, but I can't... Yeah. We have to have a motion on the floor, and it has to be something that was specifically listed on the agenda. But I'm moving that the report... Sorry, I've got to get the item number. I'm moving that item 12.1 be deferred to the next council meeting. Do I have a seconder? Seconded Councillor... I think Councillor Martin Ballengarry was first there. Any discussion? If there's something anyone wanted addressed, then all right, those in favour? Against? It is carried. For that reason, there is no reason to move to go into closed. And there being no further business, I'll declare the meeting closed. Thank everyone for their attendance and their courtesy, and wish everyone a safe trip home.